Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everyone in between or irrespective of that binary, pull up a chair and put down your chips. It's time for Tabletop Roulette. Today's game is... Masks, A New Generation, a superhero tabletop role-playing game full of action, youthful angst, and dazzling bravery. You can call me Andy because that's my name, I use he, him pronouns, and I will be your GM.
Howdy, hello, this is Rolando Garcia, I use he, him pronouns, and I'm playing Axel, the Bull. You can find me online on Twitter as Jalapeno Supreme.
Hi, this is Eric. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm playing Faustus, also known as Warlock, the Doom. You can find me online at PrimeFactorX01, or as a silky smooth fae on Shadows of St. Fleur, or as the delinquent Quint on Otherwear.
I'm Lauren, my pronouns are he, him, and I play Technovore, the Transformed. You can find me on the Nerds on a Roll podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, on Twitter at DM_LSP, and you can buy the games that I write at dmlsp.itch.io.
Hi, my name is James Malloy. My pronouns are he, him, and I play Forgefire, the Newborn. You can find me on Twitter at andthemeltdowns or on the Protean City podcast.
Hi, my name's Connor. I use he, him pronouns. I'm playing Cameron, or Vaporwave, the Delinquent playbook. And you can find me on Twitter at Conador Crunch.
Pronouns are currently she, her, and I play Odyssey / Nico, the Nomad.
All right, so we left off with the six of you in the so-called Shadow Zone, negative dimension, whatever we want to call this sort of nebulous space. Squared off against a giant demonic semi-warthog version of Bryant Baxter. And I believe that Forgefire had just regenerated at the end of our last issue. So James, would you like to give us a quick description of what Forgefire looks like now?
Forgefire previously looked like a human being with kind of like stone marble skin and had like a uniform and clothes and stuff. Now looks like a Terminator robot. Very like thin, metal, black metal limbs. And like, I think even like his face is mostly smooth. Like, I don't think he even has like a mouth or a nose anymore. There might be like gestures to those horns, but it's mostly, he still has two eyes that are kind of have like glowing fire, crystals or something in them. And he is on blue flame, very hot, and is just sort of standing in this rubble, looking around at everything that's going on, kind of with new eyes.
What is the general reaction as Forgefire emerges from this rubble looking very different from how he was? Is anybody taking note of that, or are you all mostly focused on Bryant Baxter?
There are two giant kaiju here. I am much more focused on them than the much smaller, now glowing-eyed robot.
I think it resonates with Cam, because prior to this, he didn't even know this guy was a robot. I think Cam will shout over to him, "Hey, are you okay? Are you supposed to be able to do that?"
I think that you hear a voice. But obviously he doesn't have like a mouth. He's just like got some sort of a sound projector somewhere.
Okay.
And he kind of just like turns and stares at you and says,
"System rebooting. I am Forgefire. Where are we?"
As that conversation's going on, Technovore, Bryant Baxter is charging at you. What would you like to do in response?
Bryant Baxter's charging at me. Is this a like... My mind is, as you've said, he's kind of like warthoggy. We've used Ganon as a touchstone here multiple times. I'm kind of feeling like that, like almost gorilla like charge where he's leaning on his front, like knuckles as he moves. And I think Technovore is either scrambling or no, he's waiting. He's anticipating it. And then right before he would hit, Technovore moves up and just like smashes into him. It is a clash of limbs and fury and screaming or roaring probably as the two of us, I think, just get locked in a not like battle, so to speak, but like we're kind of like the background of the panel that the others are talking in as we are just like smashing into each other, limbs flailing. I think I'm trying to directly engage him, just like letting him come at me and taking that like charge and flailing back.
Yeah, that definitely tracks. Go ahead and roll with danger for me, please.
That is a 12.
I think that will do it.
All right, that'll definitely do it. You get to pick two from the list there.
I want to resist and avoid his blows. And then I think frightening doesn't feel... He's the only opposition here, right?
Currently, yes, unless you would like to consider Blue Bomber the opposition. Because he rode into this dimension... I don't remember if he was on your back or Baxter's back, but somewhere in this scuffle, he's been thrown off.
He was on my back, and I ate his armor. I don't think there's anything I can take from Baxter, so resist or avoid their blows and create an opportunity for your allies. And I have something for what the opportunity for my allies might look like, if you're cool with that. Otherwise, I'm down to hear your suggestions.
No, go for it.
So as we are like, as he slams into me and we are, you know, kind of grappling and moving around in this big shadowy space, I think Technovore like draws himself up to his height. And if you remember previously, he had grown an extra pair of arms that he was using to support himself. And now like, as he leans back on his legs, he grabs Baxter's arms with those and like pulls them to the side. And then his upper set of arms just starts like wailing on him. And that's like where the directly engage comes in. But I think I've resisted his blows and I have Baxter pinned. Not necessarily like completely helpless, but like I've got his attention. He's got to focus on me right now. And so my allies get an opportunity because of that.
Yeah, that works. Essentially, you have him grappled. He is struggling to escape. I don't think he's going to be held for very long, but it's good enough that Warlock, Axel, and Odyssey, the three of you notice that that Technovore has pinned Baxter's arms to his side. You are also, however, surrounded by a fair number of Baxter bots that intend to do you harm. And also, Blue Bomber has been thrown off of Technovore's back and is flying through the air with what little armor he has left, sparking and malfunctioning. What would any of the three of you like to do?
Is Blue Bomber flying under his own power-ish, or is he mostly falling?
Mostly falling. Yeah, his armor that is still on him is very clearly not working after Technovore made him into a snack.
Then I would like to go catch him, if that's all right.
All right. Would you like to roll to defend him for me?
That is a 7, a partial hit.
Damn it.
Okay. Like, what is Warlock doing to protect Blue Bomber?
I think I'm physically flying over to him to grab him out of the air.
That definitely makes sense. On a 7-9, would you like to add a team to the pool, take influence over him, or clear a condition?
I'm going to take influence over him. I think I would like him to listen to my words at some point.
All right. And then would you like to expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation?
I'm good for either one, if you have a good idea for them.
Okay. I actually have a pretty good idea for escalating the situation here. As you catch Blue Bomber, he looks at you and, like, you see he's scared and like, thankful for you catching him. And he looks at you and he just says, thanks. But as he's saying that, he starts fading. Like, his corporeal form starts becoming slightly more transparent in your arms as all of this is going down.
That's not good.
Odyssey and Axel, what are the two of you doing?
You said that we have a couple of bots that required being taken care of?
Yeah, there's probably a little over a dozen that were brought in by Vaporwave at the end of the last session.
Alright. I think Axel is just going to roar loudly and just start trying to smash some of these bots, trying to make sure we have a clean field so all of us can focus on one target.
Alright. Just by their sheer number, I'm going to ask you to directly engage a threat for me.
I shall. Alright. Would anyone like to assist? I got a 9.
I think I have a way to assist here. Let me pitch it, if that's cool.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're dealing with the Baxter bots, right?
Yeah.
What if I take Brian Baxter and literally just, like, use my weight and the fact that I've got extra arms and kind of, like, throw him to the side and just, like, swing him into a group of the Baxter bots to, like, corral them for you or maybe weaken them in some way?
I think corralling them would be a really good idea.
Does that track for you, Andy?
Yeah, that works for me. Give me a couple panels between the two of you. What does it look like as you're taking these Baxter bots out?
I think because they're just human-sized, I think it's a lot of Axel grabbing one by the arm and just, like, pitcher-throwing them, like, the full body throw into, like, three others as they all just go clattering and destroying themselves. And as this giant beast falls and starts, like, scraping them all together, I think you see Axel's claws just, like, give that, like, animated, like, shine as he just runs across this, like, group of Baxter bots and just cuts through them like paper.
Love it. So what two are you selecting for your directly engaging a threat?
Let's create an opportunity for the allies. Let's resist and avoid their blows. And can I use in a China shop in this situation?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see why not.
Would I be able to impress, surprise, or frighten anyone? I don't think so. And I don't think there's anything to take.
Not really in this instance.
So I think I'll just, like, try to clear out the area.
Okay, so no in a China shop on this one?
No in a China shop.
Okay. You are making fairly quick work of the Baxter bots. They, like, as you're throwing and charging in on them, they're shooting off, like, laser blasts and small, not quite missiles, but, like, projectiles, which, thanks to Vaporwave, are now neon-colored and look like an 80s movie. There's still a fair number of them left, but you're taking them out. Like, you're making good progress on them.
I just want to add something because of the Vaporwave thing. Can I say, like, all of the explosions are, like, neon-colored? And one of them goes directly at Axel's face, and he just crunches it down and explodes in his face. And there's smoke for a second before him just grinning from ear to ear as he just jumps and smashes that one down.
Wait, are you vaping a robot?
Yes.
Yes, that 100% happens.
Cool.
So I want to check in with Odyssey and find out what he's doing as all of this is going down.
You said they haven't taken out all of the Baxter bots, right? They're just making their way through them?
Right. And Brian Baxter himself is just about to escape from Technovore's clutches.
I think that's a problem for people bigger than me. But the Baxter bots, I can handle. I have a move called Always Prepared, which essentially allows me to make a gadget on demand and use it to destroy things. There's a lot of bots around. Can I make what is essentially like one of those fireworks that when you throw it on the ground spins really quickly, and try and use it like an EMP to mess with a bunch of the bots?
100%. Is that something you have to roll for, or does that just happen?
Nope, it's rolling with superior, which the move should do on its own. Let's find out. Oh, that's a 9.
So you can either mark a condition or the effect will be unstable or temporary.
I think I'll take unstable for this one, but I also have to mark a condition because I only had two gadgets and that was my second one. So we're going to mark hopeless.
That tracks. So what's this look like on the page as you're trying to take these robots out?
So originally Odyssey looks a little overwhelmed and then he notices Axel running and really wants to help his friend. So he starts running towards the group of Baxter Box, making something in his hands quickly. He throws it. You see it land on the ground, starts spinning, and like a bit of a light show starts happening. And you watch all the Baxter Bots that it hits into just drop.
So, yeah, the ones that it hits are dropping. And I think you get, I keep saying a fair number, but I don't like putting specific numbers on things. You get a good portion of the rest of the group that Axel has not shredded apart. Since this is unstable, though, like, after it takes them out, you all, I think what happens is,
We can also make it temporary if that one is preferred.
No, I'm just thinking if I want to have the thing start to explode or if I want to have a Baxter Bot grab hold of Odyssey. I'll leave it up to you. Which one do you think's more interesting there?
I think having it explode would help the bots, would help me too much. I would rather be grabbed.
Okay. So yeah, the ones that it hits, you take out, but then you feel a cold metallic arm wrap around you from behind, and one of the Baxter Bots has a hold of you. And let's cut over to the conversation going on between Vaporwave and Forgefire, because Forgefire just asked where you are and apparently has just rebooted. How's Cam responding to that?
Yeah, I think Cam probably sidesteps as like as one of the Baxter Bots goes flying towards him, and he moves in closer to kind of position himself and Forgefire away from the majority of the fighting so that he's a little safer. And he says, look, I think I've only known you for about half an hour, but we're trying to fight that guy. And he's going to gesture over behind his back and point towards Brian Baxter's giant monstrous form and say, he's a bad guy. And we have to protect people from him by taking him down.
And Forgefire would sort of stare, kind of like really unnervingly processing that information, and turn and look at Baxter and this big fight between Baxter and Technovore, and just sort of say, we should take down the villain.
Yes, that's exactly what we got to do. So I don't know if you're sold on this look right now. It's kind of scary, but this is what we got to do. And you seem like you've been a good guy so far, and I know your heart's in the right place. So yeah, just help us take him down.
Forgefire's head kind of like whips back and locks and like makes eye contact with Vaporwave again and says,
I am a good guy. I am a good guy.
And I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if there was a lesson coming.
I'm learning the lesson that I am a good guy. I'm establishing what I am and why we're here.
I am Forgefire. I will help bring this villain to justice.
And I think he like takes a step forward and then turns back again and says,
will you also assist in taking down this villain?
Oh yeah, I had absolutely planned on it. I don't know what your powers are, but I can get you up close if that'll help.
And the black carbon fiber body that that Forgefire has now kind of starts to like do the thing where it like where previously his like skin would heat up and like get really hot, and so this carbon fiber, you like feel the heat off of him, and he like bursts into this all-consuming blue flame where you can't even see the like the physical like the black carbon fiber body anymore. It's just flame, and he's going to say to you,
"I am fire."
Good to know. And Cameron's going to manifest some laser oven mitts and teleport him. He's going to grab Forgefire and teleport him on top of Brian Baxter.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that's... Well, yeah, go ahead and roll to unleash your powers for me there, Vaporwave. Just because there's a lot of chaos going on at the moment.
That feels right. Hey, I got a 9, which is shocking.
Could I try to assist?
How are you going about doing that?
I think it's just like a, as they're chatting, Axel like slides into the panel and is just like, are you guys done chit-chatting? We gotta get in there. And he just grabs Vaporwave's hand, who is holding onto Forgefire. And he just full on, he just does the same like pitcher throw and just throws them into battle with all of his super strength.
Yeah, so as we're like flying towards Bryant Baxter, I think I'm going to teleport us like in closer and closer to the actual target that we're aiming for. And to yeah, get us right there.
All right, that works for me. The two of you find yourselves on Bryant Baxter's back. And before we focus on that scene, Warlock, what you doing as you hold the fading body of Billy Baxter, aka the Blue Bomber?
Am I able to tell what's going on? Can I possibly draw on my watching of Back to the Future to figure this out?
Yeah, I think it's not entirely too much of a jump for you to figure out that by attacking Bryant Baxter, Blue Bomber, who I don't know, does Warlock know that Blue Bomber is his grandson?
I do not think so, no.
Okay, then something going on here is enough that is affecting him in a way that he's starting to not exist.
Awesome. I would like to use infinite powers, mark a doom track for sorcery, and try to anchor this guy into reality if at all possible.
All right. That's definitely going to require a roll of some sort. I'll let you pitch to me whether you think that's unleashing your powers or defending him, because I could see either one making sense here.
I would normally probably have said savior, but since I just rolled defend and I'd like to roll something else, let's do freak for unleash your powers.
All right.
But that is a miss. So bye, Blue Bomber.
All right. What's this look like on the panel?
So you see Warlock still in the air carrying Blue Bomber, trying to softly do his chant, Lorum Ipsum Dolor Setamet, just over and over, trying to... anchor Blue Bomber with his black aura, and I'm not sure if nothing happens or something worse happens.
I think what happens is you see sort of a black energy swirling around the Blue Bomber, and then all of a sudden he's gone.
Oops.
As if through a black hole, he just disappears. And I was going to ask you for guilty, but you already are. So, yeah. How's Warlock reacting to that?
Yeah, guilty probably would have been the right condition to roll there. Honestly, I still don't know what's going on there. So let's go with afraid that I may have done something worse with Blue Bomber.
Yeah, that tracks. Is Warlock going to say or do anything here, or what's he looking like on our page?
After Blue Bomber disappears, there's just a panel of Warlock just floating there, then another almost identical panel of Warlock just saying fuck, then he's gonna go start flying over to the giant kaijus to start helping with that fight.
All right, that's going to give us a nice transition. Technovore, you've got Bryant Baxter in your arms. He's struggling. You can tell he's about to break free. When Vaporwave and Forgefire teleport onto his back, and Warlock is incoming. What are you all doing?
There's a degree, I think, here to which the Baxter bots and Forgefire are, like, pinging on that, like, hunger within Technovore that we've talked about. This is, like, Technovore is as he grows and is more sort of distorted in physical shape, being more and more controlled by the hunger of the weird alien battery that lives within him. And there, that's, like, there's power that comes with that, but he has to keep feeding it. And so I think this is him being, like, you're losing it. If Baxter's going to beat you, you got two extra arms on it. You're losing out on this. And I think there is a what I want to do is just like punch Baxter in the face super hard and then go scoop up and start scarfing down Baxter bots that are like either disabled or just kind of like tossed to the side or trying to regain their bearings. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I think like with his arms bound, I don't think you really need to roll for that. Like you can just punch him and then go start like scarfing up snacks.
Yeah, I don't think it's engage a threat. It's more of a like, boom, I'm out. And then I need to be stronger for this and just start like snacking up.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, for Vaporwave and Forge Fire, that leaves Bryant Baxter not bound as the two of you land on his back. What you trying to do up there?
I think Cameron takes one hand off of Forge Fire and maybe makes some sort of laser grappling hook that he swings and tries to latch onto Baxter so that way they're kind of more secured on the side of this giant monster. And I think that's what he'll do.
All right. And what about Forge Fire?
Just so I can remember, Odyssey is still on the ground somewhere being grappled by Baxter bots, right?
Yep.
So I would like to end up back on the ground because I want to go help Odyssey. So maybe what happens is Vaporwave fires off creates this grappling thing to shoot off a tie on one side, and then Forge Fire will offer we'll turn it, we'll sort of say,
can you produce more restraints? I can secure one to the ground.
Yeah, I think Vaporwave makes it kind of like this sort of like double-ended grappling setup.
And so Forge Fire is just going to grab the other end of this like hook and try to like just run off, basically run like perpendicular and jump off of the Baxter's back and try to like use that momentum to swing around and then like land on the ground and like connect this grappling hook like straight into the rubble below us to connect him to the ground, like to tie him down, restrict his movement.
All right, I'm gonna ask you to unleash your powers there. That feels like the most accurate.
Cool, I can do that. So that will be plus freak, which is an 11.
All right, yeah, you grab hold of this grappling hook, swing down and hook it into the rubble. Are you like hooking it onto like concrete or like a piece of rebar? What are you like?
I think that like he like, because again, he's just like almost pure flame right now. So he's holding on to the grappling hook. He kind of like runs off, does this like loop swing around, and then kind of like hits that like superhero 3-point landing. But the hand that has hit the ground is the hand holding the grappling hook. So he's just like driving it into the ground, into the rubble. And like pulls the hand back out, and like all of the rocks and concrete and rebar and stuff have all like melted to like and like filled in that gap to hold the hook to the ground.
I think as Cameron sees this, he says out loud to himself, "God, Technophore would really like that guy."
And then if like once I'm back on the ground, if I like look up and scan the area and see Odyssey in needing assistance, I would like drop the full flame and just become the robot again and just start like running in that direction.
All right. As you run off towards Odyssey, Bryant Baxter is not reacting well to being tied down. He starts like bucking and thrashing about. And what's Vaporwave doing as this is happening?
I think, one, he's like holding on for dear life. But two, I think he's trying to pour even more of his energy into keeping this grappling hook, you know, like tangible and strong and like reinforced with just his laser energy, essentially.
All right. I'm going to ask you to directly engage a threat for me because he's trying to buck you off and you're trying to keep him restrained.
So I have influence over Bryant Baxter. Would that count here?
Yeah, it certainly would.
All right. Cool. Oh, hey, that's a 10, which is a full hit.
Y'all are hitting good rolls tonight. go ahead and pick two from the list for me.
I want to take something from him, being like his mobility and ability to kind of move. And then I think I want to create an opportunity for my allies. I think I want this to capture like the attention of the Baxter bots away from Odyssey, maybe.
All right. So you are able to restrain him, but not before he is able to throw you off of his back. And Warlock, you see Bryant Baxter primed to be attacked, but Vaporwave flying through the air, not of his own volition. What would you like to do?
Why do I always got to be saving people? I do have one more hold left for my burn, and I would just like to straight up snatch Vaporwave out of the air.
All right, what's that look like?
So as I am flying forward at full speed, and there is a panel of me flying forward, a panel of Vaporwave flying past me, and then another panel of me turning around going, what the hell? And I would just reach out and telekinetically try and halt his flight.
That definitely is going to happen. Are you pulling him back to you or just stopping him?
I think pulling him back to me would probably be the best bet. And as I do that, my creepy smile looks at him and goes, I really don't think flying is your style.
I'm too rattled now to make a joke here. Thank you for saving me.
Quick check, did Vaporwave say that out loud, that he was too rattled to make a joke?
Yes, yeah.
I love how self-aware he is.
Well, probably isn't going to help your rattledness, but I'm flying straight back towards the monsters, unless you'd like me to drop you off here.
Nope. Let's do this. We came here for a reason. Let's take him down.
Alrighty.
All right. So before they do that, quick check-in with Odyssey and Axel. No. Yeah. Odyssey and Axel are working on taking out Baxter bots as Technovore comes over and starts scooping them up and eating them. Do either of the two of you react as this large kaiju of a eldritch abomination starts eating your opponents?
Is Odyssey still grabbed?
Yes, Odyssey is still grabbed. I forgot about that. I should have.
Second question. Is yep. Forgefire going to, like beelining for Odyssey?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was going to go try to help.
All right. I think Axel sees that, and I kind of want this to be in the panel with Vaporwave and Warlock. But like they're chatting in the background, and as they turn, they see Axel just like basically on the other side of the shadow plane, and like him going into a runner's pose, basically perpendicular to Baxter, and just start gaining speed. Like he just starts running and gaining speed, and he looks like he's aiming straight for Baxter's head. And I want to just like full power super strength tackle at Baxter's head.
All right, that's gonna be directly engaging a threat.
Would you say that this impresses Warlock?
If you are straight up trying to tackle this kaiju's head, I would say yes.
Cool. I get a plus one then. I have a plus four, so that is a six. If no one will help, I will cause some damage to get something from this.
You do have three team in the pool currently.
If we want to waste it, I have a way to help.
Well, I'll give what my in a China shop is, because I want to take something from them. Do they have tusks?
Yes.
Cool. I want to break those. And I think it's just like I want to cause damage to the shadow plane. I think that's what like make it to where it's a little bit more unstable.
Oh, that can't go well.
Yeah, but I want to do this. So I think it's just like Axel running and then Superman jump. And he uses his horns to directly contact with Baxter's tusks. And like it stays there for a minute as like the impact starts to actually happen until a giant snap occurs, and just the force of Axel causes Baxter to launch towards... Is there a wall to the Shadow Zone?
I'm picturing it sort of as like a Silent Hill, scary fog doesn't render in the distance sort of thing.
Would causing the ground to become like just difficult terrain basically be enough significant collateral damage? Yes,
because I'm going to give more consequences to that.
I'm okay with that. I think instead of a superhuman jump directly into it, it's a jump up and like just coming down with a big old onto the tusks and just causing his entire head to slam down and just cause a big crater just from all the force.
Okay. Warlock, you would still be able to use team if you wanted to give Axel a second option. That is up to you all, though.
Yeah, do you have something else you would pick if I made that a 7 for you, or do you want the potential?
I'll take the potential.
Got it.
I took the potential.
All right, so Axel, you slam Bryant Baxter's head just hard into the ground. And I want to cut over to the rest of the group that is fighting the Baxter bots. As you all feel the earth beneath you start shaking and quaking, and this just escalates very quickly. Like, we see one panel, it's shaking a little bit. The next one, the entire panel is taken by like shaking and motion blurs. And as you look down, the ground underneath you is starting to crack and like fracture fractally out, like as if somebody had punched a mirror. What y'all doing? Actually, before we get to that, Forgefire, you were running over towards Odyssey. We should resolve that as this is happening.
So maybe it's even like because Odyssey was grabbed by one of the Baxter bots. So maybe even as like the ground is starting to like ripple and break and fracture out, Forgefire like just kind of like is sprinting at full speed, and I want to like dive and like grab the Baxter bot and try to just like tear it away from Odyssey. Less to do damage to the bot and more to protect Odyssey.
That sounds like a defend.
Cool. That is what I would love to do. So roll with Savior. I have influence over Odyssey, so that is a 6.
All right. Anybody want to...
Can I assist you in the grapple?
Pitch for me. How are you assisting?
Just seeing Forgefire coming to get me and stopping the random struggle, and specifically focus on trying to turn the grapple against the robot so it can't escape the tackle that Forgefire is doing.
Yeah, that'll work. So Forgefire on a 7-9, you can add a team to the pool, take influence over Odyssey, or clear condition.
I will add a team to the pool.
All right, so from 3-team, you all drop down to 2-team and then back up to 3-team. Yep. And would you like to expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation?
I would love to expose myself to danger.
All right. So, yeah, you run, and are you, like, grabbing this Baxter bot? Are you tackling him? What's your, like, impact here?
Yeah, I think it's, like, I'm trying to get, like, one arm between the Baxter bot and Odyssey so that I can grab and like, pull and, like, twist the Baxter bot away and, like, almost even carry it with me. And impart a bunch of momentum into it, so that maybe the two of us go flying off the side of this like floor space. And actually, I think that like a good sort of like in danger but not like gone forever is that Forgefire immediately sort of like flame is engulfed in flame again, and like starts to like trying to force that flame downwards to provide some propulsion. Like potentially he could fly. Like, the system is still not fully booted up. He does not know how to do that yet. And so he is slowing his fall into the abyss, but is probably going to need some help.
I would like to provide that help, if now is a good opportunity.
Sure, what you got in mind?
Eating him doesn't count as helping.
Eating him does not count as helping. No, I know.
I know.
Maybe. who can say? Who can say? But I think, like, after scarfing down Baxter bots and seeing that happen, the panel we get of Forgefire channeling that flame downward and trying to reach back up to the edge as this, like, fractal sort of glass floor is falling into this abyss. And Technovore sees that and like lunges for the edge. And Technovore's real big right now. And Technovore is again like now prone, kind of leaning over that edge and reaching his just big arm down. And it's not enough. It doesn't reach. And because I have to get some body horror in every time I talk about him, we've seen him eat a lot of Baxter bots, like a lot. And so, like, we see his arm can't reach Forgefire yet. And then Baxterbot arms start protruding from his skin and grabbing on to each other and then disconnecting as another one shoots out of the skin and grabs on and disconnects. Yeah. And then another one, you know, shoots out of the skin. So, like, his arm is just, like, growing into a whip of Baxterbot arms that are reaching out for Forgefire.
So it's a barrel of monkeys.
Yes, 100%. That is exactly what's happening. A barrel of monkeys, but what if they were all Baxterbot arms shooting out of his skin?
He is, in fact, extremely armed.
Yes.
and dangerous.
Roll to defend Forgefire for me.
Ugh, only got a 5.
Do you have influence over Forgefire?
I don't think so.
I don't. I only have influence over my team.
All right. In that case, I think, like, as you run over and, like, dive to save him, the arms do, like, what you described happens. And Forgefire grabs hold of this chain of arms, pulling you down with him as the two of you now are falling into this abyss. In Vaporwave, I think you said you had something you wanted to do.
Yeah, so I'm still being carried by Warlock, right?
Correct.
I'm going to turn to Warlock and say, Warlock, you got to drop me.
Drop or throw?
Yeah, throw me. Do it.
Awesome. Then I am going to pull an axle and baseball pitch you.
Yeet!
yeah, so as Vaporwave goes flying towards the both of them, I think he was already burning pretty neon, right? I think he starts to get brighter and hotter and with like this neon light until he becomes so bright that it hurts to look at him. And I think he goes right over the edge right after both Forgefire and Technovore. And I think I'm going to activate my moment of truth right now.
Oh, shit.
Oh, damn.
This is when you show them what you really are. Whether you're the hero underneath the rebel facade or the one who can make the hard choices heroes can't make, you do whatever it takes to show the truth. Whether it's saving the day from a terrible villain or stopping a bad guy once and for all. Of course, once you've shown what you really are, there's no going back to playing the clown.
All right, what happens as Vaporwave falls over this edge?
So I think the view from on top is that Vaporwave goes down with these neon phoenix wings. And you don't hear or see anything for a minute. The panel is just the edge with nothing. And then I think Technovore and Forgefire and Vaporwave all come back over it, riding this giant neon wave. And I think the wave starts growing and growing until it's like this giant tsunami force. Great wave off of Kanagawa style, just like his logo. And it's like it's rippling with this neon orange and blue and pink energy. And it shoots up skyward and kind of deposits Forgefire and Technovore back onto the platform. And the wave begins to like spill over and cascade towards Baxter, swallowing him whole in the energy of this wave. And as it does, the light starbursts in a roar of crashing energy and no one can see anything. And the neon wave begins to subside and sink back down into the cracks in the ground. And it reveals that there's nothing left of either of them.
All right. Odyssey, Axel, Technovore, Warlock, and Forgefire. You find yourselves standing in the negative zone as the ground underneath you cracks in neon rainbow fractals. The world around you seeming to shake. What are y'all doing? Baxter's gone, Vaporwave's gone, and the world around you feels like it's coming to an end.
Just to clarify, when Forgefire saved Odyssey, what happened to Odyssey? I didn't actually know what happened there.
Odyssey was let go from the Baxter bot, and everybody else kind of tumbled over into the cracking ground that became the Abyss.
Mm-hmm.
Odyssey was left on solid ground, though. Well, solid, but shaking very heavily.
At this point, I imagine he has now noticed that Bomber was gone, and he's had Zeus, like, sweeping the entire floor while he was there. So, with a quick playback, he finds out what happens to him, and even though this is very illegal and not advised, he is going to try and open a rift through space-time and see if he can try and find the pieces of Blue Bomber.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers for me.
Would you say this counts as taking foolhardy action without talking to your team?
For sure.
Okay.
You are breaking the laws of space and time themselves.
Yeah. Okay. That's an 8.
Okay. Would you like to mark a condition or have the effect be unstable or temporary?
I think I'll have it be unstable because that sounds interesting.
So what's this look like on the page as you're scanning across the multiverse for Blue Bomber?
As soon as Odyssey is back on the ground, he takes a look around, gets a notification on his HUD, so he's just kind of standing there. And then you see him looking pretty determined, pick up the gauntlet, and create a rift. And it doesn't look like his normal rifts. His normal rifts look kind of like a moving area, and you can usually see through it. This one's almost like a tear in space-time. And you can see all kinds of weird, like, pictures and sounds and stuff coming out of it. And he doesn't really care. He's just focused on the very, very small shape of Blue. And he just jumps through.
Love it. Okay, so I want to cut over to Warlock, because you've just seen two of your teammates essentially disappear as the world's falling apart around you. I imagine that doesn't feel great. Actually, let's cut to Warlock and Axel, because both of you are going through some shit right now. How are you reacting as all this is going down?
Why the hell does my team keep disappearing?
I think Axel is... Axel basically falls and lands on a crumbling piece of this earth, because he just punched the thing and then a giant wave happens. He's a little confused. It's like, what happened? Where is everyone? Fuck!
We'll have to deal with this later. There's still one more monster left. Let's go talk to him.
Should we get out of here? It's kind of dying, I think.
Yeah, but let's figure out who we take back with us first.
Why are we choosing?
Because giant monster thing that eats robots?
We should get out of here. Like now.
What does Technovore... What is he doing right now? Is he still crazy and terrifying? Or is he settling down now that there is no demon boar?
We came up over that wave and landed. The Baxter bots are mostly dealt with, right? And we have no Baxter to fight. It's just kind of like stuck here. And so I think there's like two ways to go with this. Like, you have a way out. So the ladder of like, I'm a big weird monster, I'm going to try and punch myself out of the shadow zone, doesn't really fit. And maintaining this form is difficult for him in the long run. Can I ask Andy a question of you as the GM here? Like, is this a like we're out of danger? In terms of physical confrontation, the danger now is we have to get out of shadow zone.
Yeah, basically.
So it's like all four arms on the ground, roaring, kind of looking around and realizing that the threat has immediately passed. And that there's also like nothing else for him to eat. Technovore kind of buckles, and the big monster part of him splits from like jaw to groin, and Technovore himself is like lowered out on a bunch of cables and wires that disconnect from his back. And then the whole Yeah, actually, arms is really good. Someone in the chat posted not arms, but yes, arms. He's lowered out by a bunch of Baxter bot arms that place him on the ground. And every single palm on one of those arms has a cable that's connected into his back. It's like a really messed up, weird spider web. All retract back into the hands. And then the corpse, as it were, of himself, the big kaiju monster version, like, rusts and falls apart around him.
All right. So, who is still in the Shadow Zone? Is it just me, Axel, and Technovore at this point?
I think Forgefire.
And Forgefire.
Ah. So I'm going to pick up Axel with my telekinesis and float over to everyone else and go, so I think we probably want to go home. I don't know where everyone else went, but staying here is not a good option.
Do we know how to get them? Do we know where they are? What happened?
Is this not our home?
No.
Kind of a weird negative shadow version of our home.
Where's Vaporwave?
I don't know.
We'll have to figure that out after we aren't in a place where reality is shattering, hopefully.
What if we can't get back here?
I'm not too worried about that. I can kind of do anything.
Vaporwave's still here somewhere.
Where's the, I think, Odyssey? We were, I believe, a team.
Hey, I want to do something. I want to spend a doom point and have a dark vision. See if I can figure out where, at least if everyone else is some version of safe.
What does that say on your sheet? I'm not overly familiar with the doom sign stuff.
Dark visions. Mark your doom track to have a vision about the situation at hand. After the vision, ask the GM a question. They will answer it honestly.
Okay, so what is, as I always ask, what does this look like? And what are you trying to, like, zoom in on, I guess?
So what you see on the panel is Warlock sticking out his hand towards these shards of reality and grabbing them telekinetically with his black aura and, like, ripping them off, like, shards of glass shattering off of reality. And I want each one floating around us and showing scenes of where these other guys are.
All right. So let's see. You're checking in on Vaporwave and Odyssey and Blue Bomber, right?
Yes, and probably should have one tiny shard of Baxter, just as an afterthought.
Okay, so I want to start with Vaporwave, who, do you remember when you used this last time and you looked to where Filter was?
Yep.
And she was in that sort of white void, Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories chamber?
Yep.
You see Vaporwave floating next to her. He is very similarly in that, not alive, but not necessarily what you would think of as dead state. But he doesn't seem like he's in any pain or immediate danger.
Okay, that's relatively okay.
As for the rest of the group, I'm gonna tag Landon in here because, they are in a different version of Pinnacle City. Landon, what's your version of Pinnacle City look like?
The Pinnacle City that you see, you can tell is Pinnacle, but it's not quite right. Over the city hangs large rust-colored ships. There are multiple parts of the city that are in ruins and areas where you can tell that power outages have been consistently rolling through. It looks like this Pinnacle went through a war probably about 10 years ago. And you see the group who disappeared otherwise outside of an old-looking disco club.
The hell did we miss last episode?
No, that's the, like, Odyssey and Blue Bomber are outside there.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Was that all of them?
Did I get somebody else, Andy? Did I lose track?
No, Odyssey and Blue Bomber are in your Pinnacle City. You can feel that Bryant Baxter is there as well, but he's different. I don't think you can pinpoint exactly how he's different right now, but he is different.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
I think Axel just looks at all of these shards and... Oh, cool. Good. We're split up. We tried to get everyone together, and now we're split up again. Damn it.
Yeah, that feels like a thing with us, doesn't it?
Just get us out of here. We need to leave.
Before you do, Warlock, you get one question from your move.
Are any of them in immediate danger?
Landon, are you placing any of them in immediate danger?
Nothing more dangerous than being a powered individual in this pinnacle city will get you, no.
None of us are powered individuals.
Then no, you're not in a dangerous situation. Though you have no clue where you are. And there's an alien invasion, and you definitely see some signs and posters that say, like, see something, say something with bird insignia on them.
Cool, at least we sent the safe guys over there.
Okay, so that's the information you've got, Warlock.
Awesome. So does everyone else here kind of accept these visions, or are you guys still panicking about everyone else being in danger?
Axel is just like, he has his hands over his eyes, and he was once smiling throughout the entire fight, but now he just looks stressed, and he's like, we have to leave. Things are still falling apart. We gotta go.
I don't know enough about who I am, but if you will take me with you, I will go.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of kicked ass, and I'd love to have you around. It looks like we might need a new team for a while. Okay, so to get out of here, would you like a roll, Andy, or is it calm enough that we can just do this? Or do you want to see if there are going to be issues?
Well, the world is collapsing around you, so let's go ahead and have you unleash your powers.
Cool. Instead of doing that, I'm going to charge my burn. I have 4 conditions marks, so if this goes terribly, I'm going to knock myself out.
Oh, God.
Oh, fun.
Okay, so you see Warlock doing his chant again and black aura surrounding everyone as he tries to roll his burn. Wish me luck.
Oh, boy.
Full hit. All right. So with that, I'd like to use overcharge, so I just get a 10 on my unleash my powers roll.
All right. Let's see. What part of Pinnacle City are you going to teleport everybody back to?
I think the easiest dimensional anchor for Warlock is going to be my sanctum.
All right. Paint me a picture. Give me a couple panels of what it looks like as you teleport essentially back home.
So once this black aura is enveloping everyone, it suddenly goes like film negative, then back to normal, then film negative, then pure white, pure black, and then you suddenly find yourselves in a weird Escher-like library space where there are infinite books and shelves spread out around and above and at right angles to you. And you sort of just see Warlock sigh in relief that finally something worked. And he sort of just sits down and goes, well, welcome to sort of my sanctum. Just don't tell Everbright that. I said that.
Are we all good now? Are we, like, done fighting for right now?
I think so. Does anyone want lemonade? I am really thirsty.
Thank God. And finally, for what seemed like this entire thing, Axel finally transforms back into human. Huh. And he looks like he just ran two marathons, and he's just tired. Jesus. I haven't been in dragon form for that long, ever. Jesus. I can sleep for days. You said lemonade, right?
Quick check-in. Forgefire and Technovore, what do you all look like, and what's your reaction to everything that's going on?
So we got pulled into the sanctum. I think Technovore just finds the nearest couch or chair or something comfortable and slumps into it, and then pulls out another brown paper bag and starts munching on batteries. And his arm like pops, his right arm like pops up and flips over, and there's like a cell phone in it, and he immediately starts texting Strix and Paleo Girl, and is like, "I'm safe. Where are you? Vaporwave is gone." And then opens up like a second chat and texts Vaporwave and says, "Where are you?" Not really anticipating that working.
And Forgefire is in just like robot form, looking like just like a sort of slender, if robotic, creature made of black carbon fiber. And he is, I think, just standing like in the middle of the group. And he's kind of like just looking around, and his head is kind of jerking and moving, like doing the like commander data, moving and looking, and his eyes are flicking around, looking in and trying to look and take in everything here and try to like understand and process. And he's going to say, "I have only some of my memories. My processing systems are rebooting, but we are the good guys. Did we win?"
Complicated answer, but we are the good guys. Hey, are you guys hungry? I have spam. Wait.
Where's my spam? I don't eat spam, only direct.
I do not eat
any food.
Where did my spam go?
Hey, do you have any shirts? I don't have a shirt right now, and I don't have a bag or anything. Do you have a shirt?
As this is happening, Warlock, you hear a familiar voice call out to you. "Warlock, where have you been? I haven't seen you in months."
I'm assuming that's Everbright.
That is Everbright, and that is also where we're ending our issue.
If you liked what you heard, the best way to let us know is on Twitter at @TTRPGRoulette.
Or leaving us a review on your podcatcher of choice.
If you do leave us a review, let us know so we can give you a shout-out in a future episode.
You can also support us financially on Patreon at patreon.com/TTRPGRoulette.
There, you can get access to bonus content such as character creation episodes, blooper reels, an art gallery, and much more.
Our music was created by Neil Martin, who you can find on Twitter at @BardicMartin.
Our logo was created by Lee, who you can find on Twitter at @TheLawOfNames or on his Masks AP, Otherwhere.
We want to give a very special shout out to our patrons, including Landon Cornell, MC of Shadows of St. Fleur, Reed, Dusty, Silva, Vanessa Haas, Zeke, Gnome, and Daniel.
There are, in our world, certain places that seem to draw on the strange.
Tragic news on this, the first day of school in Chillhaven, as a local teen has been found dead under what authorities are describing as mysterious circumstances.
The unusual.
So sleeping is difficult because I don't blink, so...
Oh my god.
The monstrous.
And then he vomits out his whole skeleton onto his desk.
What?
And when you were a hip young teen coming of age in one of these locations.
So I'm like walking, trying to like subtly unzip my hair out of my backpack.
It doesn't matter if you are an aspiring scientific genius.
What do they fluctuate, Zeke?
Molecules?
A burgeoning telekinetic.
I think you have telekinetic powers.
That's so specific for you to say right now.
Or a social media influencer.
She took a selfie too, and she put glasses, their fake glasses.
Your safety is not guaranteed.
Why do I keep being made to look at things that shouldn't be?
In these dangerous times at Chillhaven High.
Dangerous Times at Chillhaven High is a real play radiophonic supernatural teen drama. New episodes every Tuesday. Follow us everywhere at Chillhaven High.